This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Now for Gospel and Scripture with Brother Len on Golden Guide.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
From the people of God, welcome to this program, Golden Guide. The scripture says, there is a way which seem right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. So therefore, we need the Golden Guide.
Hello everyone, nice to be back again. Today the theme of my message is, am I worthy of God's calling? And I'm going to read out of Exodus 3 verses 1 to 15. And I'm using the NIV Bible if you would like to follow with me while I'm reading this text. But today, before we start, I would like to open in prayer. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Although we're so far apart from each other, but yet through this wonderful radio station, we can glorify you and you can give us this message that we need to hear today so we can feel worthy in your eyes, Lord Jesus, and just remind us who we are. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us. Open our ears and our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can transform us and we can hear your message clearly to what you want to say to us. Father God, I also would like to thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross. You didn't hesitate to do that. You did it out of love for each one of us. Lord, thank you for that. And Jesus, thank you that you died on a cross for our sins and that you redeemed us before God, that today we can stand before God as righteous people. And Jesus, we acknowledge that you are God and also fully man. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we worship your holy name. Amen. Today I want to ask you, which is a different way of starting a message, I know. But I thought about this and I thought, I want to ask, do you feel worthy or worthless in the eyes of God? If I were to give you a hand banner with worthy written on one side and worthless on the other side, which side would you choose to describe how you feel before God? I ask this because there are so many times when we think we can ask God for something and for nothing else again. It's funny how we can ask our earthly dads for something and continue asking and asking and asking. But when it comes to God, we ask him once and then we think, nah, we're not worthy or good enough to ask him for anything more. And also, we decide what question we will ask. Something big, we go, nah, God won't do that for us. Because we feel not good enough. And also, when God calls us to do something for him, we often think that we're not good enough for God to work through each one of us. I have felt that before, and I think the main thing is because I'm a sinner, I'm not perfect, and I feel I'm not good enough for God to work through me. And also, who's going to listen to me? I've got an accent. I'm not a professor or a doctor. I'm just a normal human being who enjoys talking about Jesus. So who will listen to me? We are not the only ones who feel unworthy or not good enough for God to work through us. Today, we're going to look at Moses and the burning bush. And something I've never done before, I'm asking you to imagine yourself standing next to Moses as we read this passage. And I am asking God to speak to you through this message and let the Holy Spirit guide you through it. If I ask you, who was Moses? You most probably would say to me, he was a leader, he was a prophet, he was a teacher. He led God's people, the Israelites, out of captivity in Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. He led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. He was a Hebrew whose dad and mum were both from the tribe of Levi. He had an older sister, Miriam, and a brother, Aaron. He was a family man with a wife and children. He was a murderer. When Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. We read that in Exodus 2, verses 12. He wrote the first five books of the Bible known as the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He appeared on the mountain of Transfiguration, accompanied by Elijah, speaking to Jesus in the presence of Peter, James, and John, in Mark 9, verses 2 to 8. However, before God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses was a nobody. Moses was not a prominent figure, such as a prince or a king. He was a shepherd. He was the lowest and the least valuable person in the sense of the job he did. A shepherd was not appreciated during those years. They were the lowest of the low. They were the poor, the thieves, and any bad thing you can say towards them, that was their identity in those times. And Moses did not even have his own flock of sheep. He was a shepherd for his father-in-law. Moses led the flock of sheep far into the wilderness near the mountain of Horeb, which is later known as Mount Sinai. While Moses was attending the sheep, a bush caught fire. Let's read about Moses and the burning bush from Exodus 3, verses 1 to 15. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see the strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Amen. Apparently, in the desert, it's not uncommon for a plant or a bush to ignite spontaneously, which I didn't know. However, this bush burnt, the bush that Moses was looking at, was burning differently, so much that it caught Moses' attention. The bush did not burn like any other bush will normally burn. The bush kept on burning while the grass beneath it remained unburned, and neither did the fire nor the flames destroy any other nearby bushes. Moses stopped and thought, as we read in verse 3, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Unknown to Moses, this bush was set alight by a divine presence, as we read, by the angel of the Lord, by God. When the burning bush had Moses' full attention, God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Before the burning bush, God did not speak to Moses because God never had Moses' full attention. The Lord called out to Moses from within the burning bush, as we read in verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. You see, the world looked at Moses as a shepherd. Or let me rather put it this way, as just a shepherd, a nobody. No one paid any attention to him. Since he had been a shepherd for the last 40 years, somewhere in the desert, he was also unknown to people. Instead, they left him alone to continue his duty, taking care of the flock of sheep, making sure they were safe. I wonder how many people even knew his name. But when God called Moses, he called Moses by his name. God knew Moses. He knew who Moses was and where he was. Moses might have been just a shepherd, a nobody in the eyes of the world, but to God, Moses was worthy, valuable, loved, and important. The reason God repeated Moses' name twice was to stop him and make sure he listens, emphasizing the importance or urgency with which God was calling him. It's not the first time God has called people repeating their names. He has called Abram, Abram, Genesis 22:11. Samuel, Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:10. Simon, Simon, in Luke 22:31. Martha, Martha, in Luke 10:41. And Saul, Saul, in Acts 9:4. God had Moses' full attention and gave him two instructions. The first one was not to come too close to the burning bush, and secondly, to remove his sandals or his shoes. Moses was on his way to get close to inspect the burning bush, and God stopped him. And the reason was not to keep him safe from this heat from coming from the burning bush, but he was coming into the presence of God, and therefore the place was holy. The burning bush was an image of God's glory. The glory of God was so magnificent that it was like a radiant shining out of God's presence. And therefore Moses could not come close to the bush and had to stand at a distance. Also, no person can ever be equal to God, since God is holy. Therefore, there will always be a distance between God and mankind. Nevertheless, we will be able to have a closer or a close fellowship, a relationship with Him, with God, than we ever had before through faith in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So when I say we always be distant from God, it's because we can't be the same. And man is just, we sinners, and we're not righteous. But through faith in Jesus, we can come before God, but we will never, ever be the same. When Moses spent time in the presence of God on top of Mount Sinai, God also warned the Israelites not to go up to the mountain, and not even to touch the base of the mountain, otherwise they would die, because it was a holy place and God's presence was there. We read in Exodus 19:12, be careful, this is what God's saying to the Israelites, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. While Moses went up to the mountain, they were in God's presence, and the place where God appears is holy and set apart. God put limits around the mountain and set it apart as being holy. God was telling them that He is real and that He is holy. That's revealing something about God Himself. Two things. He is real. He is alive. He is with us. And He is holy. Holiness involves separation. God's holiness means that He is set apart from everything sinful or evil. It is this distinction between the Creator and mankind, between deity and mankind. God says, I am God. I'm not man. I am the Holy One, the Holy One among you. In Isaiah 11:9. It means that God is holy, and His holiness sets Him apart from all His creation. The psalmist wrote, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. That's Psalm 99:9. God being holy and set apart does not mean that we cannot approach God. No, it means when we approach God, we do it with respect and with humility, knowing that He is God and that He is holy. It actually gets me when people sometimes refer to God as the man up there, or just that one living up in heaven. I cannot handle it, because in my eyes God is holy, and when you speak about Him, you speak with respect And that's just how I feel about it. God instructed Moses to take off his sandals or his shoes because he had come into the presence of God standing on holy ground. When Moses removed his sandals, it was an act of humility and reverence, as well as a sign of respect and acknowledgement that he was in the immediate presence of God. Removing shoes in ancient Near Eastern culture symbolized respect for the sacred. Moses stood on holy ground in God's space, which is not ordinary human territory. In many cultures, removing shoes is a sign of respect. In a Maori culture, before you enter a marae, it is also customary to remove your shoes, since it shows reverence and recognition of the sacred space you're entering, and so it was with Moses as well. This, when Moses took off his sandals, he recognized that he was standing before a divine presence, and that is God. Sandals also symbolizes that it has touched dirty ground, represents human or mankind's uncleanness. Taking off symbolizes Moses acknowledging his sinful human state before the pure, righteous, and holy God. God ordered this mark of respect when Moses came into God's immediate presence to leave the dirt behind and coming clean. God also instructed Joshua to remove his sandals when he came into the immediate presence of God. When Joshua was near Jericho, Joshua saw a man in front of him with a drawn sword, and he instructed Joshua to remove his sandals. We read in Joshua 5:15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And so Joshua did it. By doing this, Joshua showed respect and obedience in the presence of God. Through the burning bush, God revealed himself to Moses by declaring his identity. When he said to Moses, he is the same God as his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God also reminded Moses that he is the God of the covenant. The covenant that he made with Israel was still valid and important to him. That's the Abraham one. The reason is that Moses and the rest of the Israelites might have thought and even believed God had forsaken them in Egypt, since they've already been there 430 years. So maybe they were thinking God forgot that the Abrahamic covenant he made with him, that if they will become a great nation, because now they're actually suffering and it's not going well with him. But God might have been separated from them, but he was not distant from them. And he still cared deeply about them. He has never left them. God heard their cries and he was concerned about them so much that God came down to save his people from their slavery under the Egyptians. And we read that in verses 8. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. The Israelites thought God might have forsaken them, but God never did. He's always been with them. But their stubbornness kept them away from God. Let me carry on before I talk too much. And God chose Moses as his human instrument through whom he will work to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. Moses, just as we do at times, first protested to God that he was not the right person to fulfill God's calling. In his own eyes, he was unworthy of his calling. because from a human viewpoint or perspective, he was just a shepherd who was not qualified to lead God's people. Yet, with the help of God and God's provision, he led the Israelites for 40 years till they entered into the promised land. In the same way, when God calls us, we believe we are unworthy of God's calling. When God asked me once before to go and pray for someone who was on his deathbed, I questioned God and I actually asked God if he knew what he was doing, if he didn't make a mistake by asking me. Here I was, a human being, questioning our Almighty God. In my own eyes, I felt unworthy of God's calling. But yet, in God's eyes, I was qualified to do his work. As I wrote this message, I wondered, against whose standards do we measure ourselves? Now the answer is actually straightforward and easy. We measure ourselves against the standards of the world. The world tells us that we need specific qualifications when we are called to do God's work or anything else. Admittedly, I'll be honest with you, there are occupations where qualifications are required, such as doctors, tradesmen, and etc., or welders. You need to learn to do that. The problem is that we become qualified, and instead of acknowledging that we've received our achievements with the help of the Holy Spirit, we claim that we have successfully achieved them on our own merits without the help of Jesus. This is an individualistic mindset, meaning we do everything by ourselves on our own. I got my degree by myself. Jesus didn't help. And that's what an individualistic mindset is, where I got my degree because of the help of Jesus. I got my tradesman, I think you call it a diploma or tradesman qualification, with the help of God. I didn't do it on my own, I can't. However, it's like I said, it's not we doing the work, but it's God who is working in me and through each one of us to fulfill what he has called us to do. When God called Moses, God already set out everything in place. He opened the doors to achieve the mission he has called Moses to do. All Moses had to do was to obey and trust God. Moses had to learn to trust God. He had to learn to turn his focus away from himself, his low esteem, his self-pity, his unworthiness, and turn his focus on God and have faith in God. Instead, Moses, just as we would do, even myself, said to God, we complain and argue and to say, we're not good enough. We read in verses 13 to 15, Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I say? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Moses was worried that the Israelites won't believe him when he tells them it was God who has sent him. And that's why Moses asked for his name. God said to Moses, I am who I am. The New King James Bible says, I am that I am, in which God revealed something important of himself. I am who I am is God stating his name, Yahweh. His name forever. He has no equal. There is no equivalent to God but God Himself. God is stating that He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we read that in Revelation 21:6. He is the Eternal One who has no beginning or no end. He is real and He is our only one true God. The name of God, I Am Who I Am, or Yahweh, was considered so holy that it could not be spoken out loud or even written as one word. I'm actually going to read to you something that I found in one of my commentaries, and I thought it so interesting, and I need to share this with you, how much respect was there for Jesus or God that they couldn't write out His name. And it reads, in fact, when a Jewish scribe copied the scriptures and came to the holy name, he would set aside his quill, that's a feather pen, get a brand new one that would write only that name, and then break the quill afterwards so that no other word would ever flow from that pen. God's name Yahweh, from I Am Who I Am, always evokes the memory of the events recorded in Exodus of this faithful, wonder-working God being present with His people and showing His power on their behalf. The people of that time had much more respect for God, I Am Who I Am, Yahweh, than what we do have for God today. Look how many people are using the Lord's name in vain and speak so disrespectfully of God. It's just so they don't care about Him. It's bad. The God who called Moses to save His people is the same God whom we are serving today, and the same God who calls us to serve Him. What is the key takeaway from this message today? You might feel like a nobody, but you are a somebody. You are a valued child of God. You are a nobody to the world, but you are a valuable and worthy child of God. You are His child. You've been adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. God knows you by your name, just as He knew Moses' name. So does He know your name. God saying to you, I am your God. I am who I am to you as well. And you can put your name there. You can say, my name is Charmaine. So God saying to me, Charmaine, I am your God. I am who I am to you as well today. And just replace my name with your name. That's what God's saying to you. God will call you wherever He wants, whenever and wherever He wants to work through you for you to serve Him. God reaches down to wherever you are and calls you to perform extraordinary or straightforward work through you. Only if you allow Him and trust Him to do that. As God was with Moses from birth, and when He led God's people so exactly the same way, so is God with you and me all the time. God said in verse 12 to Moses, I will be with you. So God saying the same to you, I will be with you. I am who I am. I am your God, and I will be with you. Amen on that. As Moses encountered God through a burning bush, so will He in an unusual way encounter with us. We will have our encounter with Him. It may be through extraordinary circumstances. Can be when you look at a billboard, there's something standing out and you go, you know what? That's God talking to me. Or He might choose someone to talk to you. and that person will just say something, and you know it's for you. Or on Facebook, something will, a Bible verse will pop up, and you go, you know what? That's for me. The Holy Spirit will make sure that you see that. I recall years ago when my husband was busy fixing a television. You know when he makes all these different lines and things, and you couldn't, the vision was quite blurry. I saw the tables with the Ten Commandments, the stones with the Ten Commandments written on it, and I saw them clearly. I looked at my husband and I said to him, have you seen that, the Ten Commandments on the, written on the stones? And he said, no, I haven't. I said, but I saw that as clear as you are standing in front of me. What the Ten Commandments meant at that time, I honestly do not know. But I know God was showing me something at that day. When we feel that Jesus is calling us to do something, we need to stop, pray about it, and ask for confirmation. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you in the Bible to confirm that. Or through someone that you trust, that's a godly person, to speak into your life or confirm that. And do it with a knowledge that God has already prepared the way and the method by which He wants to work through you. Maybe something easy to pray for someone, or you're thinking of someone, call that person. That person might just need some encouragement, or your positive voice at that, to hear your positive voice at that moment. Pray for someone as you, from your house, when you're thinking of them. We don't know why God's doing that, but we do not doubt. We need to do. It's not easy, but you know what? What do we have to lose? We're doing it for God. People will ridicule us. They will always have something nasty to say. But we are acting in obedience to our calling for God's glory, not for the sake of the world. Yes, to show God to them, His love. That's what we're doing. Just as God did all these great things through Moses, so will God do great things through us. It might not be big, it can be small, but we don't know, we don't see that, we can't see the bigger picture. All I know is God is working through each one of us. We need to slow down, listen, and pray. And whatever we do it by trusting God and to glorify God through our calling. Lastly, at the beginning of this message, I ask you, do you feel worthy or worthless in God's eyes? And I hope I know, and I pray in all honesty, your answer is yes, yes, yes. Because you are loved, you are valuable, and you are worthy in God's eyes. And God said, I am who I am. I am your God, and I'm calling you by your name. I know your name, and you are worthy for my calling, and you are worthy to be my child, regardless of what anyone else says. Amen. Father God, thank you that we are your children. When you look at each one of us, we're not just a human being walking there or standing there somewhere in the world. Lord, you know each one of us by our names. Lord, we're not just a nobody. We're your children. You love us. Lord, today as you're calling each one of us to do something for you, as you're working through us, we are your instruments on earth. And Lord, I pray that we will stop and listen. And instead of turning back or doubt, that we will go forward and do what you ask us to do for you. Lord, it's not always easy, but Holy Spirit, with your guidance and your encouragement and motivation, we can do it. And help us and remind us that regardless of what the world is saying or the people are saying, Lord, it's you. Everything on this earth is about you. You created us to work in your creation, to serve you, and through whom you will work to lead others to you, Lord Jesus. Even if it's just smiling at someone, to show your love, Lord. Lord, pray your blessing upon each and every person. I bless their houses, their families, their kids, and everything in your holy name. Lord Jesus, one thing I want to ask today is, if there's anyone feeling unworthy, please, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, work in that one's heart to show them how much they are loved by you, that unworthiness will turn into worthy, and realizing how much you love him, Lord Jesus, that you sent your Son to die for us on a cross. Lord, I know the people in this world are wicked, but you not. And since we're worthy, you called us, you created us with a calling, Lord Jesus, and worthiness, Lord. Show us the way and make us blind to what the world is saying, but let our eyes open and be fixed on you alone, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, during this week, please be with every person and keep your hand of protection over them. And I pray this all in your holy name. Amen. And may you have a wonderful and a blessed week. Amen.
Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the wave of glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Let the wave of your glory.
Listening here on Free FM 89.0 in the dial of your radio.
Till I lay my head
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I'm gonna say
listeners, I invite you to listen to this program, Golden Tide. And the power of truth here on Free FM 89.0 with me, Brother Lynn Fletcher, every Sunday at 6 until 7 o'clock in the evening. And thanks for your listening.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.